So a couple of years ago, the people of St. Matthew's collectively discerned 8 spiritual practices that for us form our unique contextual way of following Jesus. And the very first one of those practices is story. But story can be an odd thing to call a practice. Today's story from Genesis about Jacob wrestling with the man all night is one of the most strange and powerful stories in the Judeo-Christian tradition. So it's the eve of Jacob encountering his brother Esau, this brother with whom he's been estranged for 20 years. And Jacob and Esau were twins, but as you know, as you may or may not know, in that culture at that time, only the firstborn could inherit the parents' blessings and wealth. And so whoever was next just got nothing. And so through an accident of birth, Esau was born first, even though the Bible says that Jacob and Esau were wrestling even in the womb. And Esau was supposed to get everything. So Jacob had spent his life cheating and manipulating and lying to get what he probably felt should have been his from the beginning. He cheated Esau out of his birthright and out of Isaac's blessing. And then, because Esau was so mad, he threatened to kill him, Jacob fled to his uncle Laban, where he worked for 20 years. And it turned out Laban was as much of a cheat and a liar as Jacob. So it didn't go that well. But anyway, after 20 years, Jacob had had enough. By this time, he had 2 wives, he had 11 children, he had a wealth of flocks, sheep, and goats. And he finally decided it was time to come home and face his brother. So he is almost home. And the story from this morning's text is the night before he is going to encounter Esau. And he has heard, by the way, that Esau is coming to meet him with 400 men. The 400 men part is not a good sign. So Jacob is probably afraid for his life. And in that context, a man, the Bible doesn't say who, comes to wrestle with him all night long. And it's a match. It's even. Neither one can win. Finally, dawn comes, and the man says, "Let me go." And Jacob does what is quintessential Jacob. He says, "No, I'm not letting you go until you bless me." That has been his stance his whole life. Well, we're going to continue that story in a minute, but first, I want to tell you a story about wrestling with what turns out to be God in my own life. When I was in college, I decided that Christianity was not for me, and I abandoned church and faith and went out and explored lots of other things. And when I was in my 30s, I decided I wanted to become a spiritual director. So I had to get trained at this place that required me to do something called the Ignatian Exercises. The Ignatian Exercises are an hour a day of contemplative prayer over a couple of verses of Christian scripture every day for 8 months. Well, at the time, my response to Christian scripture ranged from, "This is incomprehensible," "This is boring," or "This is offensive." That was my range of reaction to Christian scripture. So you can imagine how an hour a day of prayer on those scriptures felt to me. So day after day, I kind of struggled on. And finally, one day, I just had it. And I said to God, "You know, I've got nothing. There is nothing in this for me. I mean, even the most tangential meaning is not worth the time and effort that I'm spending on doing this." And I just said, "God, what do you have? Because I got nothing." And what I heard in my mind was a strange phrase, and it was a vow of honesty. A what? And there it was again, a vow of honesty. And as I sat with that, what I felt God was saying to me was, "I want you to engage authentically with me over these scriptures. I felt God was saying, I neither want your blind faith nor you to walk away. I want you to stay engaged with exactly how you actually are. I will be honest with you. I want to ask your forgiveness for telling yet another personal story from my own life to you. I would much rather tell your stories. But for that, I have to hear them. I want to invite us all to engage the practice of story that we've identified even more deeply. I want to invite us not to kind of an unedited, you know, tell all to everyone all the time, whatever you think. I want to invite us to a deep, honest, and vulnerable engagement with the stories of our scripture combined with the stories of our own life. Please tell them to each other and to the preachers so we can, you know, quit talking about ourselves all the time. When Jacob said to the man, I will not let you go until you bless me, the man said to him, what is your name? And in that culture, at that time, a name meant far more than it does to us. A name meant your very identity, who you are, your essence. It named parts of you. And so to know someone's name gave you a certain power over them. Jacob's name meant heel. It meant heel because when he was born with his hand clutching his brother's heel. I mean, that was his stance in life, right? It meant usurper. It meant someone who takes what is not theirs. And when Jacob was vulnerable enough to share with God who he really was, God gave him a new name, Israel, which means one who struggles with God and with humans and who prevails. Or as one rabbi I've heard says, who is able. What do you struggle with when you're alone at night? How might you encounter God, the face of God, in that struggle? How might your very identity be healed and transformed and move toward wholeness by that encounter? I want to invite you all to really deeply consider those questions and share your stories with one another. Where do you struggle at night when you're alone? How might you encounter God in that struggle? And how might that encounter transform and heal you and move you toward wholeness? When Jacob became Israel, he also stopped being curved in on himself and he became the ancestor of a nation. When we're healed enough, we can cease being curved in on ourselves and begin to engage the reconciliation of the world to which God calls us. Amen.